Okay, so we've been talking about it for a couple days now, and that is the little dust up at the State House, shall I say. Something that really came out of left field. And as I had Steve Arnold, president of the New England Police Benevolent Association, actually, no, not president, he's a legislative director, I'm sorry. As he was on here yesterday articulating his points about the, employees becoming at will when their contracts expire for public employees. And I was expressed some concerns over the tactics that were used in bringing this forward in the late hours of the evening into the budget process. And I said, if you really needed to do this, why not make it a separate piece of legislation that would be debated fully? To which a couple of state reps called in here and said, well, actually, there is more debate because the Senate, the committees, the appropriate committees need to put this up for a public hearing. The full House will be debating it next week, actually. Then the full, you know, it goes to the Senate where a committee will hear it and then goes to the vote. So, okay, yeah, I get some of that. But here's the thing, and I've made this observation before, and it sure seemed to be that the House leadership, the Senate leadership, and the union heads all seem to have gotten along, you know, fairly cordially, we'll just say. Maybe not in full agreement on a lot of things, but the discourse and the tone has been very respectful of each other. And then Tuesday night happened, and that was like throwing the match in the gasoline can. Neil Kirk bringing forth his amendment to the House Finance Committee. And I'm not saying, you know, and right or wrongly here, what if that proposal is necessary. I'm just saying, was it really the right thing to do? Was it a good PR move? I think it was not. And I think that it could have been debated a little bit differently. And we saw what happens with raw emotions yesterday in the House Finance Committee, which I'm sure did not buy too many people's hearts over on the public employee side after seeing the disruptions in the Finance Committee. And as I shared with you yesterday, some reactions that I got by email, not too many people were very happy with the public employees having to give up quite a few things in the process here. But we'll talk about that in a minute. I want to bring to your attention something that was mentioned in the Nashua Telegraph back in, just a few weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, actually, where they mentioned in an editorial here, House Speaker Bill O'Brien and Majority Leader DJ Betancourt met with the Telegraph editorial board just days after McKenzie's visit, and McKenzie being president of the AFL-CIO of New Hampshire. O'Brien said Republicans in the state are not interested in following the Wisconsin model. And we know what all happened in Wisconsin, don't we? So that doesn't mean they don't have labor-related legislative goals. And they go on to talk about the Evergreen Clause and right to work and other issues that still lie ahead. But in other words, they were trying to avoid this type of situation. And now the House Speaker, you know, we wonder, you know, given how things have gone in his defense of Neil Kirk's amendment. So we brought in David Lang, who's president of the Professional Firefighters of New Hampshire, who we talked with once, some time ago, and he's now joining us here in studio on Bulldog Live, and we'll get Bob to turn on his microphone. And so here's David Lang. Welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Listen, all right.
I know a little bit of something about bulldogs because they're on the fire trucks we drive.
Hey, cool. Yeah, that's right. Oh, my goodness. I remember that now. How you doing? Good to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too, and thanks for doing what you're doing.
Well, yeah, I'm trying. You know, we may not be in full agreement on all the issues, but I wanted to give you your chance to say what's going on. Give us your observations.
Well, that's the great thing about this country is that everybody should have a voice, and yours included and ours included. And this debate really boils down to the following. As public employees, we seem to be under attack recently. There's a lot of consternation about taxes. There's a lot of folks that have been struggling recently. And there's a bigger playbook out here that's really focusing its attention on public employees, trying to make us the problem. Really what the issue is, and I was talking to you earlier about this, it's people are saying, well, why shouldn't you be at-will employees? And why shouldn't you pay for 100% of your pension? And why shouldn't you suffer the same way that we're suffering? And the question I have for you is, your boat has a hole in it. Come into our boat, all right? Why shouldn't you have a voice? Why shouldn't you have an ability to sit with your employer and have a discussion about what you do for work, what it's worth, and what the benefits are that should be there? That's what this is about. If we go in another model, what we're finding is that this is really a race to the economic bottom. Once we finish destroying public employee labor unions, which is really what the agenda is here, then what's left? You're next.
Well, you know, misery loves company is one term that comes to mind when you talk about that race to the bottom. But and let's face it, it's been a recurring theme of mine for a long time, and that is the middle class of America are an endangered species. And, you know, we know that their wages have not gone up, but yet they're having to pay a whole lot more for health insurance. They're being asked to contribute more to the retirements. There's really hardly any such thing as pensions anymore, and we have the pension reform debate going on among the state employees too. But you know, so they just want to see the public, you know, employees give up some of that and get on board with quote unquote the real world. You know, that's what they're saying.
What really isn't the real world? A debate about in this discussion about the haves and the have-nots. And isn't it really about Wall Street versus Main Street? You know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, who's sitting there home at her kitchen table, who's depending on her police department and her fire department to respond in their emergency, they're not looking to have low-quality employees. They want people that are highly trained, college-educated, folks that when we're called in to make the bad stop happening, to make it stop. I mean, this is not like those folks in Enron, or in those places like the automobile industry that the taxpayers just bailed out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand that people are frustrated. I really do. But your public employees each and every day go to work to teach your kids, to fight your fires, to transport you in the ambulance. We're not the enemy. Now, listen, you guys have been hurting out there. We know that. We're sensitive to that at the same time. Contracts all across the state, firefighter contracts have been opened up. We've taken less. We've gone and made give backs. We're making concessions. Total annihilation is really not the option here. What it is a calm, clear discussion about what type of public safety do we want. Think about that for a minute. Remove public sector unions. Allow employees to be hired based on the political will. Remember now, the political pendulum swings, and it swings dramatically each and every time we have an election.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want your fire department, you know, the sheriff got elected and he hired all his cousins to be sheriffs. You know, the fire chief gets elected and he hires all of his friends to be firefighters. We don't want to go back to those days.
All right, I got you. Now, this debate of what happened with this amendment and it was voted on and approved by the House Finance Committee yesterday, which would say if your contract runs out for public employees, you now become at-will employees, which means your benefits can change at any time, your pay can change at any time, even whether you come to work the next day can be changed at any time.
And how does that sound? So tonight you go to bed. The contract runs out at 12 o'clock. At 12:01, all the firefighters are dismissed, and they march in some janitors with firefighter uniforms on the next day, with no disrespect to janitors. I mean, seriously, folks, this is a debate and a discussion about how we destroy the voice of workers. That's all this is. Representative Neil Kirk went in under the cloak of darkness. As you can tell, this worker's voice is starting to strain.
Yeah.
But my passion isn't strained. But Representative Kirk went in under the cloak of darkness, and he put in an amendment that he knew was going to cause chaos. I mean, he's saying that this is nothing more than repealing Evergreen. Well, remember that Evergreen was already passed into law. All that said was that when you have a pay plan that management puts forward, when you don't have a contract, you continue to move up in the pay plan. That's gone now. All what happens now under Neil Kirk's plan is that when the contract expires, management will no longer be required to honor its commitment, yet labor will. And that's the real problem here. So what we would really ask for is to stop the extreme tricks. Stop the political gamesmanship. This is a democracy. Let's have transparency and openness. I agree with you. If this is part of an agenda item, it should have been put in as a bill. It should have been open to discussion and debate. The election in November had nothing to do with this, period.
And I guess the reason why they slipped it into the budget is they're trying to say that this is going to save us money, and yet no one's been able to provide me with a dollar amount as to how much this is supposed to save.
That's correct, because they don't know. I mean, there's an assumption made by Representative Kirk that, you know, the employers are going to continue to pay at the same level, and they're going to still offer health insurance that it is. I mean, what we're going to see is something totally different. I suspect there's another game up their sleeve and another trick. Right now, the budget vote is scheduled for Thursday. Don't be surprised if the speaker doesn't special order this bill until Wednesday because of a big rally that's being planned, not by workers, but by all the people that are affected by the budget cuts.
1-866-823-1077 is our phone number where you're always welcome to join the conversation. I do have somebody who wants to join this conversation with David Lang, president of the Professional Firefighters of New Hampshire, joining us here. Made the trip from Londonderry to be in our studios today, so thank you for that. Brian from Plymouth, you're on Bulldog Live along with David Lang. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
All right.
I just want to say I really agree with David. I think that there should be some kind of split, you know, as far as the state workers and whatnot. I've always thought that they should have been, have quote, joined the real world and been at-will employees a long time ago. But I really think it is fair to keep, you know, firefighters and police. I agree with what he's saying. We have to have some kind of accountability and make sure there's professionals out there. And I don't have a problem at all with them having, you know, a different benefit package than I do as an at-will employee, because I think they deserve it for the job that they do.
All right, David?
Well, no, I just want to thank you very much for that phone call. And I really would encourage you to continue this discussion, not so much about police officers and firefighters, but more importantly about what's happening to the middle class. I just think it's unreasonable for billionaires to be able to dictate to regular middle class folks as to what's going to happen here. I really do. And I think that if you think about, as an employee at will, how successful your voice is in your employment, how successful your voice is in the United States Congress, for goodness sakes. That's one of the reasons why America's unions have really been the voice for the middle class, because we don't mind standing up and saying, yes, you, sir, should have health care. Yes, you should have a good retirement. And yes, at the end of the day, you should be able to spend time for your families, with your families, and have weekends off. And you should have quality education for your kids.
All right. Well, Brian, thank you very much. You take care, okay?
Okay, have a good weekend, guys.
All right, bye-bye. 1-866-823-1077. Brian is called into the show from time to time, and I don't know what his political persuasion is, but I don't think he's one of these hardcore lefty Democrats. I'll make that assumption anyway.
He's like most of my members, but if they keep doing what they did yesterday, they're going to quick turn into lefties.
Well, we'll see. You know, and before I get to a state representative who's waiting on hold, too, former state senator Bob Clegg, I saw on Kevin Langdrigan's piece yesterday in Nashua Telegraph, he said that even Bob Clegg says that this kind of an amendment does not help either side come together for negotiations at the last hour. Because yesterday I asked, what would be the incentive for the government to negotiate at the last minute?
Well, and that's correct on the local level, but even as a bigger picture, it does nothing in this whole discussion about the pensions. It does nothing in this whole discussion about state budgets. And it does nothing about what reasonable property taxes are. I mean, this was a bomb that was dropped that was unnecessary. It was callous, but it was calculated. And it's totally unfortunate, and we feel bad that the leadership in the House decided to allow this to happen. We think that reasonable people would have stood up and said, let's do this. There was a bill in, it was withdrawn. The indications that we were receiving was that it was possibly going to be introduced in the fall. This is nothing more than Wisconsin on steroids. And we would really strongly encourage cooler heads to slow down and calm down and to have a reasonable discussion about these issues.
All right. David Lang joining us here, president of the Professional Firefighters of New Hampshire, here on Bulldog Live. And I did say we have a state representative on hold. That would be Representative Brendan Guida, who wants to chime in. Hi, Brendan. How are you today?
I'm great, Brian. How are you? Good to talk to you.
Good. You're on with David Lang.
Representative, thanks for your service.
Thank you also. I wanted to respond, and it's going to be kind of a strong response. And my response is, First of all, unions do not represent the middle class in America. They represent a very small minority of American citizens. And union membership has been going down. And the reason it's been going down is because America is a progressive country. And we're not, and union membership has been increasing in public employees. And that is the one area in this country where the citizens cannot protect themselves. Now, I did the county budget meeting last week, and we were looking at some of the abuses and some of the union contracts and some of the terms. And let me tell you that the reason that this is happening, let's not talk about how it's happening procedurally because I wasn't involved in that. I'm not in that committee. But the reason this is happening is because there is a huge disconnect. Listen, we have our military soldiers out there in harm's way every day, and they do not have the pay or benefits that our union employees have in New Hampshire. The union employee average wage and benefits in New Hampshire is way above the median average wage and benefits. And what the disconnect is you won't get a union contract that wants a concession. You tell me how many towns and cities are unfair to their employees. If they became at-will employees, do you really think that the citizens of New Hampshire, the public, doesn't realize that we have valuable public sector employees? They do. The problem isn't the employees at all. We have great employees. The problem is that the unions have to justify their existence, and in doing so, they drive these contract terms and conditions out of sight. And that's what we're dealing with.
Well, David Lang, would you like to respond at all?
Well, oh, absolutely I want to respond. And I want to start by saying that, you know, really unions are nothing more than a group of workers that have gotten together to have a voice. They're similar to the lawyers that have the Bar Association. So I guess that if we could equate the same thing, public sector workers are no different than the Bar Association, which is the union for the lawyers.
That's not true. The Bar Association is not a union. I'm a member of it.
Oh, I'm sorry, it is not a union.
It is simply a training organization. It has nothing to do with fees, costs, or contracts. Nothing. So that is not a fair analogy.
Well, sir, in the case of public sector workers, we have to take a look at where we came from. And in the 70s, we were seeing labor unrest throughout the whole state of New Hampshire. We saw specifically strikes. Manchester Fire went on strike. We saw school districts going on strike. We saw that the discussion about having management and labor being able to sit down at the table and having a reasonable discussion about wages and working conditions and expectations was born out of that. Matter of fact, the father of conservatism, Mel Thompson, was governor at the time that the collective bargaining law was passed at 273A. So since that time, we've seen a whole change in a dynamic shift in the state of New Hampshire. We've seen the advent of Senate Bill 2. If you think for 1 minute that it's easy to get a labor agreement now through town meeting form of government with the deliberative session, I got a bridge for you to buy in New York City. I mean, it's very difficult. When we go in and we sit down and we make concessions and we have a discussion, and remember, that's what this is about, labor and management. For us, for labor to get something, management at some point has to say yes. I suspect if you don't like the contracts that we've got, you ought to try changing management. That would probably be a little bit better in this discussion. Now, furthermore, we get these contracts, we put them through, then they go to the voters, and all the contracts go on the ballot. In my community in Hampton, where I'm from, we've tried to make concessions. We did a two-year freeze in pay and benefits. We were willing to talk about changes in health care, and we couldn't get that through the town meeting. 6 years we've been trying to get a contract. 6 years we've been trying to get concessions on the table, change in health care, change in pay, change in work rules. And unfortunately, we can't get it by the electorate. So the problem is really the system is a little bit skewed here. And what we've done now is we've totally destroyed it.
Let me talk to you about skewed. I would assume that if the conditions were so bad in Hampton, where you haven't had a contract for 6 years, that all the teachers quit. But no, they stayed there because their benefits and their salaries are better than the private sector, and so even without a contract for 6 years, they're still all there. You tell me why. Because their median income and their benefits are way above the average in New Hampshire, and the unions will not turn around and cut, despite what you say.
Well, first of all, sir, I'm a firefighter. I'm not a teacher. Second of all, I was a 30-year and 4-month firefighter. when I joined the fire department in the town of Hampton, it was a commitment that I made, like a member of the military, to protect the citizens of the town of Hampton for a 30-year period. I started, sir, at $4.60 an hour. That was my pay when I started. In 1990, a firefighter made $14,000 a year. So to say, sir, that I've lived a very large scale, I've lived a very large pay and benefits package, I mean, that's not completely accurate. And I'm going to tell you, you ask me a question about what we make. You know what we make, sir? We make the cities safe. You know what? We transport people to the hospital. We make bad things stop happening. I have not once had someone at 2 o'clock in the morning when they have a chimney fire or their house is on fire or their grandmother is sick or injured or even worse, someone is dead on the floor. I have not one person ever say to me, you know what, we're paying you too much. And I mean, I'm really offended by the fact that you would think that public employees are on the dole here. We work hard. We're proud. My members are willing to give up their life for someone they never met. And to be treated like the public enemy, sir, is just unconscionable.
All right, Brendan, I'll let you have the last word because I have to move on here.
Absolutely, Brian. Let me tone down your rhetoric because I'm the one who said I value state employees. And as a retired serviceman who gave 25 years to his country, I never had a union protecting me. And I never was out there arguing about I should get better pay and better benefits. I didn't need that. I was honored to serve, just like our state employees are honored to serve. And I believe that the unions are coming in the way between the employees and management because they always want to argue for something more, whether or not it's deserved. I'm the one who said our state employees are valuable, just like my 25 years of service is valuable. But I didn't have a union. I didn't have a union representing me, and I don't think our employees need one either. Thank you.
All right, Brendan Aguida, state representative, thank you very much. You take care. All right, let's take a time out here. I do have another caller on the line, but we have to take this break. We'll continue the conversation with David Lang from the Professional Firefighters of New Hampshire. We'll keep him on for a few more minutes, talk about what's coming up from their perspective in the State House real soon here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages, live on the Pulse.